Welcome to this week's Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Jana Amati. Now, you've got an Italian surname because you have an Italian husband, but you're actually from the Czech Republic.
Yes, that's right.
So how long have you been living in Italy?
In Italy, it's been probably around 8 years now.
Okay, so you're quite Italianized now.
I guess you could say
that. But we're going to talk about some of the traditions and etiquette in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
And maybe there are some things that are, you know, similar, or some things that are like, whoa, I miss that. Or you introduce that with your own family. Because, you know, when people are married to people from another country, you know, it can be quite exciting or quite difficult to which traditions do you follow, which day do you celebrate that kind of thing. But I'm just going to start at the very beginning because I don't know much about the Czech Republic at all. I've been to Prague like most people, but done the touristy stuff. But tell me a bit about where you're from in Prague, Czech Republic. Sorry,
yeah, don't worry. Basically, I'm from Ostrava, which is the third biggest city of Czech Republic.
Okay,
it's around 400 kilometers from Prague, so it's towards Poland, let's
mm-hmm.
say. It's quite, or it used to be quite industrial city, but now it's changing. There are lots of festivals and still industrial, I think, at some point, because it's been 18 years now on my way.
Okay.
So I guess the things have changed now a lot. But yeah, that's it, I think, more or
quite
less.
Good. So you grew up there, though?
Yes, I did. I've passed there over 20 years. Then I moved to Prague, and then England, and then Italy.
Excellent. So when a child is born in the Czech Republic, do you have ceremonies and things? Is it a Catholic country, a Christian country? Does it have other religions? What's the predominance?
It is, I think, the Catholic, but many people are not very religious in Czech. I guess it depends as well if you grew up in the city or little village.
Okay.
Being from the city, my grandmother was very much Catholic, so it was a lot of church going and activities through her.
Mm-hmm.
But I can never think of it as a bad thing, to be honest, because she had a nice community. The priest we used to go to for the catechism sort
yes,
of thing.
Yeah.
It was really nice, actually. And I used to go with my cousin as well, so it was more fun. The Sunday early mornings to go to the church was another child, but all around it was quite good. When the kid is born, basically, I think it's more or less same even as here. You bring some presents, more or less it's the closest family and friends, basically. You do the announcement, and I guess that's it, really. Then you can do the baptism,
mm-hmm.
but then again, it depends if you're religious or not. And then again, it's like here, you bring the presents, but it's usually much smaller. It's the closest family, and maybe if you've got a very close friends from childhood and stuff like that, you bring them along.
But are there typical presents? Do you take silver or do you take more practical things?
No, I think it's like everywhere, the gold, mm-hmm. and then it's up to the person what they want to do. I guess evolving through the years, because come on, like things 20 years ago, because I'm going to be 40, so if I go back around 20 years ago, surely it was different to what it is today,
okay.
because all the modern world is taking over, no?
Mm.
So I guess it can be even a show-off sort of thing, no? Because now even the baby showers coming in more, before it wasn't like that.
Yeah. Today I saw something online about a half-year birthday party for a child.
Exactly. But look, saying that, in Italy, they celebrate every month of the birth.
Ouch.
Yeah, every single month they have got like a cake and the family gets together. So when I had my first baby, I was like,
"That's just an excuse for a cake."
I don't really want to do that because it's a bit too much, no? Mm. At least from my point of view.
There you go. But this is one of those things about cross marriage. You have to take some things and lose some things.
But I was very lucky. Jannica's not like that. So we kind of like took away all these crazy things and kept it very simple as well.
That's nice. Yeah. I know you're talking about Italian cake there, but is there a traditional Czech cake that we should look out for? Is there some sort of delicacy that happens for special occasions, for baptisms and things like that?
But we have got like I think baptism and stuff like that, the wedding cakes, they are simple as you want, as
okay.
you choose. But for the wedding, for example, we do like these little cakes that then you give to the guests and whoever couldn't come and stuff like that. And those are really nice. They can be with plums,
mm-hmm.
like a plum marmalade on top, if I remember well. And they can be very delicious. But otherwise, as a food, cakes, sweets, getting like a modern world now.
Like, everything the same.
I can only remember from when I was a child the strudel with apples, and I always loved that. So grandma used to do it, my mom used to do it. We would have a long strudel each for one person, basically, so you wouldn't steal from the other.
That's a great idea. You should do that in your restaurant. You normally find, we had a check intern once and she couldn't wait to go home. I think they don't like to, in general, be away because they love the Czech Republic. So it's somewhere that they want to invest their life and their time and everything. And I thought it was really nice for young people to actually want to stay in their own country. It's refreshing. It might have changed.
No, but, no, I don't think so because anyway, we weren't never... like taught to go abroad, to be honest. I think it was my sort of a stubborn brain to go away because I used to work as a nurse, and actually I moved right after my studies, I moved to Prague for a year, and seeing that I was 20, I wanted to have fun, no, like everybody who's in their 20s, and I worked in the hospital back then as a nurse, and I was always at work, 12 hours shift, and the pay wasn't great. I was like, I don't want this. And then I thought, I'm going to go to UK as an au pair. And then things just went the way they did. And I just don't know if I would ever go back now, but it's probably because I've been so long away. But I know I've got my cousin that, for example, even came to UK, but he always would tend to go back. So you might be actually right on that. You make me think on these things, and I don't have any many people that would move away. If somebody would move away, it was like Germany, which is like next door.
So it's a bit easier, even potentially linguistically, you have sort of a similar understanding, or
it can be after you get like more languages in. I think you do, but it's like everywhere when you're being dropped in the country, you either swim
you make
or
it
you
work.
Draw.
Yeah, yeah. No? So talking of which, so now. You don't get so much chance then to do Czech food. But if I was at your house, imagine sort of 20 years ago, we were going to be party animals together and you invited me to your house for dinner. What sort of time would you cook dinner?
Oh, we used to eat quite early because I still keep it with my kids at the house as well. Like 6:37.
Okay.
I guess even now, if it's like a more dinner between adults, you probably even push the times anyway. It depends on everybody's
schedules
and everything like that. You could do 8, but I don't think you do any later because anyway, we are quite early eating people because then... I think nobody really likes to go sleep with their stomach full.
That's
anyway.
True.
So, yeah, so I think, let's say 7 o'clock, 7:30.
So if you said 7 o'clock, do I arrive at 7 o'clock or do I arrive at 6:30, 6:45?
You better come arrive early.
Fantastic.
I hate this about Italy. That, do you know what I do? I always like, you have got a dinner at 7? And I would say, be here at 6:30 because Italians need the half an hour. In Czech, if you come late... Oh, you'll be frowned on.
Good. That's what we like to hear. So be on time.
Yeah. Even a bit early, it's better.
Better. Okay.
It's better.
Of course. Yeah. You know they're coming, you know.
Yeah.
Is there, I guess the food is a set thing as well, you know, starters, mains, desserts. Is it like that or do you eat everything comes out at once? What's the sort of traditional?
No, I think you do like a sort of aperitif. Yeah, it's like little breads you could do with some kind of spreads. You put ham on or different salami and stuff like that. You can do like different salami as well on the plate. We do things that called jednohubky, which is like we got like little long rolls, bread rolls, and you cut them in circles basically, and then you put actually a garlic spread on.
Whoa.
That's one of the favorites. I love it as well. I know it's not very nice afterwards,
but
if you share it,
yes.
Everyone is on the same boat, no? So this is really nice. And so you can do them differently, not only with the garlic spread, you can do the salumi on, whatever now people get into. You can do the hummus on. You know, I think even the food got a bit more explored and tried to make it different as well. But as a dinner, you're going to have just main sort of thing, unless you want to just pick and you have a drink, few beers and stuff like that. Again, I would always say it depends on the setting. Because now I think you and me have got a little bit of a different perception of a dinner to, for example, my friends even now in Czech, because we have got a bit more interest in the food, and you want to always prepare something different and stuff like that. So maybe I'll ask them next time and maybe do what any update.
But what is pork predominant, or is it beef or lamb?
It's always meat. You always will do meat, mm-hmm. Either pork, chicken, or even beef. Mm-hmm. We don't do much lamb, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, it's not very much on our how do you say?
It's not culturally.
Yeah,
We
do chicken and pork. I think I remember when I was young. We do mm-hmm.
more of
that.
Those things.
Yeah. White meat, let's say. Yeah.
And if I come to your house for this, you know, fictitious dinner party, what should I bring with me?
It depends. You can bring, it's a dinner evening, so a bottle of wine. You can bring some flowers to the woman, for mm-hmm. example, or a box of chocolate, something like that. Just a simple, very tiny thing, not just as to show the appreciation of invite or something.
So there's no like strange, or I shouldn't say strange.
Objects.
But there are some countries where you have to take a certain amount of flowers, or you don't take a certain colour of flowers.
You do. Well, if it's not a funeral, I think it might be related more to that. I think if it's a normal thing, you do three, five? Oh God, now you got me on that.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the funeral. Funeral, you bring one, three. Yeah, so you need to do two, four, or six or something like that.
Oh, so even numbers of flowers.
Even numbers,
for dinner.
And I think...
And an odd number for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is in parts of Russia, they have a similar thing. It's quite interesting, really, that you know...
Yeah, because it is kind of divided like that, even though,
I just find it fascinating that these things are thought of and... You know, considered and kept till this day.
But now I'm thinking, even my husband, when he brings me flowers once in a while, I think he does three roses, so I need to check on that.
Oh,
dear.
You better tell him he needs to buy you more roses because of this program. You know, get me some, you know, good publicity over there.
Yeah.
So I turn up on time or before.
Yeah.
I bring some wine and maybe some flowers, an even number of flowers, and maybe some chocolula. What can I do to offend you to make sure that I don't do it? Apart from being late.
It depends what you talk about.
Are there subjects off the table like politics, religion, whatever?
I don't think so. It's just being careful not to get into heat-up conversations.
Okay, that's it.
Because you always have to... But it's like everywhere. You have to always take in considerate all people around you. So that guy might be a lot in politics. So if you... Not on top of it, you better not to start any topic. No, but it's like everywhere, I guess it's better to do a pleasant conversations and stuff like that. But I don't think there's like a you could maybe if you do everyone comment about the house, about the flat, maybe you could offend there. But again, it's a personal.
That's it, So there's not like a dual talk about football or whatever. It's not.
You can maybe, but you know how it is everywhere. The boys divide and the girls divide, no? So the boys talk about whatever they want and the girls talk about whatever they want.
And is there a sort of dress code if I'm coming to your home? Is there a, should I be casual? Should I be smart? Does it depend on the occasion?
Yeah, exactly. It would depend on the occasion, as you said, anyway. But if it's just a normal dinner, you can come in even jeans.
Okay.
If it's chilled out. We don't really do much dressing up. Like, for example, I remember in UK, you would do even a housewarming party and everyone would come in dresses and fabulous, beautiful clothes. But it's just, they're going to get drunk in the end. So. Are you going to be able to keep up your
appearances,
prettiness and stuff like that as when you came in? So it's just a simple thing. So we do things, I think, more relaxed way. You're not very much... I wouldn't say you don't look after your appearance, but when you are invited to somebody's home, it's usually just really
comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. But does that stay the same when you go to a wedding? What happens at a Czech wedding?
Well, wedding's a bit different. I guess you always have to be, it's a special occasion, so you try even your best, you know, what you feel best and comfortable in. The boys would obviously wear suits, the tie, and the girls would put a dress on or any other very nice dresses as well, or the jackets. And
is there anything like, is it generally an evening wedding or a daytime wedding? Because obviously in some countries like Italy, you have to consider the weather as well. But in Czech Republic,
I think it's more date wedding anyway. You have the ceremony in the morning-ish time around 10, 11. midday, and then you would go to a chosen venue, and then you would have all the lunch and dinner and stuff like that. We surely don't do so much food like in Italy. It's usually you would have a sit down lunch, and then in the evening it would be sort of a barbecue or even a buffet.
And do you invite the same people? So the same people come to the formal celebration as come to the barbecue, or do you have like, you know, that's the family come to the first bit and then your friends rock up the fun bit?
Yeah, you do basically the formal and actually invite, you do the wedding in the church, or if you do it at the council as well, because mostly it is at the council, to be honest with you. And then to the venue, you invite the guests, you really want them there. And then in the evening, you can invite some more friends and people like that. Like even here, they do it for the cake, for example. But we do for the barbecue for the evening, and then you have got the music and DJ and stuff.
So is there like really interesting sausages in the Czech Republic? I love sausages. I'm just thinking barbecue, pork sausages. Do you do anything? Is there particular spices that they use a lot, or is it... It's very simple food. It's from the earth.
Very traditional, I think, you know, but as I said, I haven't been for like 20 years really. So maybe things have changed. I usually, when I go as well, I'll look for the very traditional food that I miss. Because I cook it at home, but usually for myself, because I'll get the cravings for. But we do normal sausages. I think they're not very good, you know. No. It's... you would say a kind of a Wurster. Sorts of thing. They can be smoked, for example. So if you like smoke, it's perfect. But then you would have to go to the macellaio.
Yeah, the butcher.
The butcher, exactly, to get the proper sausages. They do like a homemade,
So if is that kind of sausages that they sort of street food? If you were going, what should you order if you're visiting? What should you try?
Very typical things, no? Like, we call it knedlové prosciutto. It's with sauerkraut. Then you have got pork meat, and it's little dumplings as well.
That sounds yummy.
This is very, very typical. And then we got like creamy sauces. That's why I said the Czech food is very heavy. So can you imagine eating stuff like that for the summer? You'd be stuffed in a
It does feel more like a wintry place, definitely. Yeah. But,
We do have a big warm summers as well. You do. We do around 40 degrees.
Wow.
In the summer.
Is that historical or is that something global?
No, it's always been
like that.
You come up to high temperatures, but then a good thing about Czech is that there is a storm from a high temperature like that, so it just freshens up and then the sun comes out again.
And does it snow a lot?
Do you know what? Due to the global warming, now it's a bit less, I guess. I remember that last year wasn't one of the good winters, but when it snows, it does snow. I remember like having snow up to your knees and stuff like that. So it was beautiful, The good about the winter in Czech, it's dry.
Okay.
So it's really nice. So even, I remember even nights that would be minus 25. During the day it was minus 10, minus 12, 15. But you don't feel it as such a cold because it's dry, so it's really nice as well. So I do miss that.
I will have to check that out because, that sounds like still quite cold to be.
Not anymore, I don't think. Last year it was. I remember that because I sometimes check the weather. Come on, you're always going to have a party from there, so you're going to keep checking out. And I remember it was like minus 15 this year, so in the winter. But during the night, usually, there would be like a couple of days that it would pick up at this
that sort of thing. And so I was thinking about going back to weddings as well. Do people have weddings all year, or is it like there's it more popular in the summer or more popular in the winter, or just when they feel like getting married?
There's no real. Obviously, I think for everybody, they want the nice weather, the sun and stuff like that. But I guess sometimes you cannot predict what day you're going to have. In Italy, it's probably more predictable that, for example, now in July, you know, you're going to have all July really nice and there will be no rain. If you're not at the north at this point. But in Czech, I guess it's anytime. You want. Like Christmas could be maybe even a nice wedding.
Do you take particular gifts to a wedding?
I guess now it's more or less money. I don't know. To be honest, I haven't been to many weddings. I don't know if they do lists, but I guess it's now as the
more
modern
like that,
company
money
that
or
they do. It's either money or anything for the house, for example. you know that if it's your very close friend, you might see the house and you say, oh, maybe this would go really well for them and something like that. So, but usually you just give money, really.
Okay, mm. And do it that way, make it sort
yeah,
of
I remember
at them,
our wedding, everyone did basically envelopes.
I'm not sure about, because I like the idea of, I never got married, but I like the idea of, you know, the presence. I don't like the idea of a list. I you know, because most people have lived together now and you have everything you need.
But
so I
even
like the
actually
idea.
Put down what I want.
Yeah, no, I just think...
Isn't it better to have kind of a surprise as a gift?
And a personal gift. That, like, yeah. I bought this for you because I think you guys would enjoy
exactly,
this.
Exactly, yeah,
you know?
Because it's very personal. And exactly as you said, I like that person got into trouble and took their time to actually choose, you know?
Think about
you
it.
You can imagine how you are. It's like, but they like it and stuff like that. So... it is very personal and very touching, I think, even though it might not be the best present or something you like, but you put it in your house and you're like, that's from that person. And it will always remind you of them. No? So it's
do you have many people at Czech weddings? Is it hundreds or is it literally you would know everybody in the room? Well,
no, you would know everybody well in the room. You don't invite, as you say, the people I know. It's usually your friends like from childhood or a very recent friend that you get on really well. So for example, our wedding, because we did a little blessing in Czech as well, and it was 40 of us. And I had some Italian people, so Italian family.
Because I think that's nice. They all know you. They can all talk about you, you know, good stuff, bad stuff. But no, they all know you and they don't have to ask which one is the husband, you know, because
you know,
I've been to weddings where
you exactly
just...
know who's who. Maybe a couple of friends, maybe that they didn't have ever met. But usually even those friends... Like, for example, I had a couple of friends from early childhood that we went to nursery together. We lived in the same house, sort of, because you live in block of flats. Uh-huh. So my friend, she lived in the 16th floor, and the other one in the 3rd floor, and I'm on the 8th floor. So, you know, and then you go to the high school, for example, and when you go out and stuff, they would meet because it's your
you
friends.
Know each other. Yes, yes, yes.
So they know each other, for example.
So much nicer than Maltese weddings. We have, you know, 500, 600, 700, 1200 people at a wedding.
Oh,
it's,
dear.
Yeah, it's insane. Absolutely insane. But I suppose I shouldn't really say that, but there you go. So for the weddings, we're saying you get dressed up, suits, long skirts, for the long dresses, whatever, depending on the thing. And cake. Is cake sort of, I know we talked about earlier, so you just choose your cake, you have the tiered white cake type of thing? Or you're saying about these small cakes, you give
these
those
are
away?
Yeah, kind
of
apart, because you have got the main cake and then you have got the little sweets. And before the wedding, for example, the day before wedding, if I'm not wrong, you actually go around the guests that they cannot make it and bring them to them. Or you can do it the day after wedding, whatever. It's best for you to suit you as well.
That's really nice.
And usually even the witnesses do it. They help a lot, actually. Ah. The witness in Czech is very, very much present as well.
Okay.
And for example, I had my friends, even if we come back to the presents, for example, I had my friend that actually, instead of giving me present, I said, if you don't mind, do the cake, for example.
Okay.
So she looked after the cake, for example. So you can even kind of divide certain
sort of jobs and tasks
sort of
for her.
Exactly, to your best friends. And
well, if you've got a best friend that makes cake, I'd be happy about that anyway. So,
oh,
you know,
I do, actually.
Yes. They might
now
be my friends.
But then I think she didn't do it, but now she does as well.
So any other rituals around weddings? Are there any?
Oh, good, yeah. I think these are really nice, and we did them with my husband as well. After the wedding, when you arrive to the venue, you do a couple of things. You basically, the waitress or waiter breaks the plate on the floor.
Okay.
And they give you the, oh God, what's it called?
Oh, the dustpan and brush.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So one of them gets the pan and one of them the brush, and you need to sweep it together. So your life together starts, so you have to do everything together. Then, this is a very, very typical Czech, because as you know, we like to drink anyway, or the Czech, especially the beer now. But this is regards that they bring you two glasses. One is filled with slivovice, which is a very typical drink from plums in Czech.
Ah, so it's alcoholic then.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes. Very alcoholic, 40-50%. And the other one is filled with water.
Okay.
And whoever chooses the one with the alcohol will command in that marriage, okay?
Oh, that's brilliant.
But I had it really bad, because my husband actually can't tell where is the alcohol, where is the water. So guess who?
He got the alcohol.
Even though he let me choose first, but I did choose the wrong one. So that's another thing. And then at the lunch times, we usually have soups, and then you would have the main. So even at the wedding, it's the same. You would have a kind of a, usually it's a chicken soup as well. Mm-hmm. And you would get a bib and you would actually feed each other.
Oh.
And they would even give you a spoon with holes. So it's even the more difficult.
Takes a lot more.
It's big fun, you know, it's really nice. And the bibs, you can have them embroidered and stuff like that. So it can be another present sort of thing from the witness. And stuff like that.
That's really cool. Yeah, I like this. They're really sweet ideas.
You know, these are really nice things to do and traditions, especially if you're from a mixed
backgrounds and countries. Yeah,
exactly.
No, it's nice.
Everyone's got their own.
No, I really, that's what I like about this, is that we start to spread our cultures and we pick up other cultures. Mm. And, you know, there are some lovely things. There are some completely bonkers things that happens, as well around the world. But, I just think it's really nice for us to know that if, you know, we turn up, we behave correctly, we dress correctly, we take the right thing, we don't offend anybody, you know, and we make the most of it. We understand what's going on when you see this, you know, oh, it's been goals, and, you know, so we would understand that a bit better. So I think it's a really nice...
Nice to bring it back as well, because it's a really nice that you invited me, because I won't hide it, I had to do a little research even just to make sure I remember all of them as well, and I do actually. I'm quite glad, because I think slowly these things are disappearing, to be honest. You know, I can see it even with my kids, because I did keep some traditions in the beginning, but our Italian influence is very big, so it kind of pushed the Czech ones away.
Yeah.
So it's nice to...
Yeah, it happens around the world, and you pick up where you live as well. Mm. So you both lived in England, that you would pick up different things. Mm-hmm. But I think it makes for an interesting, you know, well-rounded child.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They sort of have a bit of, you know, world knowledge, which has always got to be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Coming to sort of the end of the programme now, and we start to talk about the end of life. So what happens? So, okay, you've had your wedding, you've had your children, we've gone through the whole thing. You know, I don't want to cut it short for you. But then what happens then at a funeral, a traditional funeral?
So basically people anyway, we get cremated usually.
Okay.
Okay. It's very well known, and it's what you do anyway. we do not have usually the ceremonies at the actual cemetery.
Okay.
Or church. It's very rare. It's more for the Catholic people. It's like, for example, my grandma, she did have it in church. But I know, for example, my parents or some of my even friends, they had it actually in the crematory, is it called?
Oh, yes, the crematorium.
Exactly. Because you get it there, everything, and you do a couple of speeches if somebody fills up for it. What's very touching, sometimes you put some favorite music of that person, so that can be very emotional at times. And to be honest, I have no idea if they still do it. Luckily, I haven't been to many funerals since I left Czech Republic. Usually you would do kind of a lunch, a celebration of their life. But I think it's slowly fading away this as well. But yeah, that's what you do, and then you do the flowers anyway, usually,
and that's with the odd number of flowers that you would bring.
I think so, yeah.
And when somebody does pass away, how soon after that day is the funeral normally?
I think it's almost right away. It's I think the cremation takes a couple of days probably.
Okay, yeah. So quite quick.
Yeah, it is usually very, very quick.
Because in the UK, it can be up, you know, it can be 2 weeks, can be,
I guess it depends
really
as well
long.
On the. How many people die? I know it's
yes, as well.
To talk
so
about
it,
I think it's that as well, and how quick they are.
But it's not. It's,
know,
yeah, it's.
I think it's pretty quick. Like, it depends. Because as you know, the death can be always questioned. So if they have to do any
post-mortem investigations,
stuff like that.
It's different. Yeah,
but usually when it's older people, don't do that, because especially if you die, because usually you die in hospital anyway. Mm. It's very rare that you would die at home. It's not like here in Italy. Mm. You don't get much displayed. You can get displayed in the mortuary sort of thing and stuff like that if you want to see the person, but otherwise not. But usually you do the funeral, and then you get cremated right away as well. So
and then that's it. Right.
Then you get put to your place afterwards.
Well, that's it for us too. I really like to thank you so much for joining me, Anna, on this week's Good Manners Map, talking to me about the etiquette and traditions in the Czech Republic. It's been really interesting.
It was very nice for me to be here.
Thank you very much.